the Joshua Project. We have Christy Goldenberg, treasurer and secretary of the Joshua Project Foundation from Santa Barbara, California.
Yep, Simi Valley. Well, it says Santa Barbara.
It says Santa Barbara. Yeah. Okay. What we got was sent to us. So
yep, that's okay.
So I join me, everyone, in welcoming them to our conference and convention for their presentation.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, and we want to say thank you for everyone being so welcoming. It's our very first conference. I'm sitting up here with Joshua himself and my husband, Evan. We'll each take a little turn speaking about the Joshua Project. I will start off. I'm going to quickly tell you the story behind the Joshua Project. One day while shopping, I'm a sighted mother of two. One day while shopping with my blind son Joshua at the grocery store, we were looking for batteries for one of his toys, and I told him that they were out. He said to me, "Well, let me feel." So I let him feel where the batteries were supposed to be, but he said, no, where's the Braille? And I said, "Well, there is no Braille." And he said, "Well, how am I supposed to shop if there's no Braille?" Great question. Yee! Of all the things I've thought of as a parent, that wasn't one of the things I had looked up. So I went home and started to look it up. And Josh kept insisting, "There needs to be Braille in there so that I can shop." Okay, this is the story behind the Joshua Project. I'm going to back up a little bit now and tell you who I am. As I mentioned, I am a sighted 44-year-old woman, married 17 years to my husband, Evan. We have two children, Hannah, who is 15 and a half, and Joshua, who is 8. I've been lucky enough to be a stay-at-home mom up until about a year ago. Thank you. About a year ago, I decided to go back to work. I now work for our school district as a special education aide. And I work out of our house as a book reviewer. I had toxemia during my first pregnancy with my daughter, which caused her to be born 3 months early. My doctor told me not to get pregnant again. 8 years later, I was. It was an accident. But 15 weeks into my pregnancy, during an ultrasound, they found the baby was missing his right eye and gave me the option to abort. I said, "Why would I do that?" We had more ultrasounds, which revealed no other complications or issues. Continued with the pregnancy, gave birth to Joshua. At 3 months old, Joshua was taken to UCLA for a regular eye test on the eye that he did have. And they told us that he had a condition called bilateral microphthalmia. His optic nerves had never developed. At 18 months old, my son, who was always very energetic, began slamming his head against walls and our hardwood floor. I didn't understand this and thought he was just strange until someone told me that that was something I should probably have looked at. We took him to Children's Hospital where he had glaucoma and had to have that eye enucleated. By the time Joshua was 5 years old, he had endured 4 surgeries on his eye sockets and now wears 2 beautiful blue prosthetic eyes. We began having services right away. By the time that Josh was 3 years old, he started preschool at a regular preschool. And we were working with somebody from a place who had a lot of years and knowledge working with blind children. She had a lot of very interesting opinions in as we were raising Josh, like blind people don't like water. Don't ever put him in the water. This seemed very strange to me because my son always loved bath time. And so when we went on family vacation once, I put him in the swimming pool. My son today swims very well. after a while, I got tired of all the negativity, too, telling me all the things he wouldn't be able to do and all the things the school district would never provide. And at that point, my husband and I decided to take a new path. We started hiring aides who had never worked with the blind, who had positive attitudes and good hearts, somebody who would see him as an individual, somebody who would see him as Joshua, my blind son, not my blind son, Joshua. We're not a typical family. We have a very unique way of doing things. We choose to have a lot of humor. I horrify and amuse people with stories about Joshua losing his eye at the mall one day and showing it to the woman at the store when she said, "What was that?" and she almost passed out. Joshua has a great sense of humor himself, loving to get in my face. And when I say, "What are you doing?" he says, "I'm staring at you." Joshua today loves to ride a bike. He loves to swim, hike. He is proficient at climbing 150-foot rock walls. He plays classical piano for over 2 years now. He's very independent with a great sense of humor and a beautiful and loving heart, especially towards his sister. My daughter, Anna, is a writer and an artist. And anytime she does a picture, Josh will be the first one to run over and say, "Oh, Hannah, that's beautiful." We have high expectations for Josh, just like Hannah, college, job, living independently. And one day somebody came up to me and said, "You're so lucky your son's blind. He'll never leave home." I said, "Oh my, if that boy turns 20 and he's still in my house, I have failed badly as a parent." Josh started attending preschool, as I mentioned, at 3. He now attends our public elementary school. He's in the second grade. He began learning with a cane at age 3 because he insisted on it. He began learning Braille around the same time. He's now in second grade, and he's a straight-A student. He's using a Perkins Brailler and a Mountbatten Brailler. He has JAWS and is learning on typability. He's a math guy with an amazing memory, having so far memorized the first 250 numbers of pi. He was recently given a Braille note by someone we met to start learning that, since the school district deemed it too early. Somebody gave us one to let him borrow, and we'll go ahead with that. Things I've learned in having a blind son is that in some ways I think he's so lucky not to have sight, and because I think so much of our world is about this person being this color skin or this tall or this thin or these kind of clothes or this kind of hair. And I so admire when he meets somebody, he judges everybody by how he feels. I think how nice the world would be if everybody else could do that. My children are here to teach me and not the other way around. That is my personal belief. I know nothing. They seem to know a lot more than I do. And rather than have that attitude, like I know it all and I'll teach it to them, I find it better to flip that around and learn from them and be open to new ideas and new perspectives. I've also learned that positive people with good hearts and intentions are sometimes better to work with than those that have a lot of knowledge or experience in the field of the blind. The Joshua Project is having many unseen benefits, like empowering children and letting them know that they can make a difference in the world. It teaches tolerance and it opens up a conversation with parents, because in my experience, it's usually the parents that are the problem, not the children. I'm going to pass it over to Joshua now so he can fill you in a little bit more about his project. Oops. Okay, there you go. Go ahead.
Don't say a word. Go ahead. Hi, my name is Joss. I'm 8 years old. My mom called me Joshua, but I do like to be called Josh, so please call me Josh. Is there anybody in this room that's not blind? Raise your hand. Oh wait, don't raise your hand. I can't see.
You're too much. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you what I like to do first, and then I'll tell you about the project. I like to jump on trampolines with somebody. My dad can jump super high. He can make me fly up in the air like, yeah. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story about the Joshua Project. Mommy, the microphone's not like...
Yeah, it's fine.
Go ahead.
One day, I was stopping with my mom for batteries for one of my toys, and she said, there's none. And I said, yeah, let me feel. So I felt, and my mom said, see, there's none. And I said, I can't see, and there's no braille, so I can't stop. And my mom said, how can I stop if there's no braille? My mom was like, good question. So she went home. She looked it up, and then my dad got home, and my mom and my dad started discussing it, like, how can we do this? And then finally my mom and dad agreed, and I brailled some of the stores. First, I brailled Trader Joe's, but they took it down. That was sad. But now Whole Foods in Thousand Oaks, like close to my house, is... sticking with it now, so they still have it up. I put it up like about a year ago. So yeah, and then I brailled Whole Foods, and then I brailled Boston, that Whole Foods, and then I brailled Santa Barbara Whole Foods. Now Gelson's and the Whole Foods in... Oh, and Albertsons contacted us.
What?
To put braille up. And one more store, I forgot it was called. Let me ask my dad. Whole Foods and Tarzana and Vons are both. So I have a lot of stores. No, Mommy. Okay. So yeah, I did that, and I want to braille every other grocery store in the world, and it's important because when I grow up, I want to go shopping by myself, and I want other blind people to go shopping by themselves too.
Good job. Here's my dad.
No. All right, here's my dad, Evan. Thank you very much for letting me talk to you guys. And here's my dad.
I don't know how I'm going to, I'm going to follow that, but. So that's my son. He's very shy. I just want to reiterate what he said about the Joshua Project really did start from a simple question, and that was, how am I supposed to go shopping if there's no Braille? This led us to a whole bunch of questions, not ever dealt with the blind community before. We did our own research, we did Google, we found out that the Braille Institute and the NFB and the California Council of the Blind and everybody else don't exactly speak with each other all the time. So the answers we received are varied. We actually saw videos and we heard stories of people who go shopping and they wait 10 to 15 minutes for somebody to help escort them around a store, which really isn't a horrible thing. I mean, it's nice to be able to meet people and find the generosity of others, which actually has helped us to where we are today. However, when I see people like my son, who are so fiercely independent, he would never wait for somebody to help him. He would be swinging his cane. He wouldn't be like that. So when we walk into a store, we know how excited people we go shopping. We know that we can walk over and see that there's red peppers and green peppers and yellow peppers. We know that when we go down an aisle to see what's in the aisle, we look up because that's what says it's in the aisle. And what's happening is we're getting to a point where we're realizing that it's not a simple process. It all came up with the question is, can't we make this a little bit easier? And the process that we put into place is not perfect. It's kind of the first step of what we wanted to do. And we Braille at the produce section. We will put a Braille label with a sign on each piece of produce, not each piece of produce, but each section. Yeah, that would be fun, huh? That's a full-time job. No, on each box. In other words, we have it separated. On every aisle of the store, there is a list of what is on that aisle. Not only is that aisle blade that stick out have a list of what's on the aisle, but it's also got very large wording. So people who can't see up above the aisle can just look at that sign that's right there, too. Some of the store shelves actually have Braille on it, so you can trail your way down and see it as well. It's a long process. There is, and something that we just came up with recently that's at the Santa Barbara Whole Foods, we have a store directory that was put out in front of the store. And what I call it is narrowing down the store. You have a 20,000 square foot facility and you want to find milk. And the idea behind doing that is somebody would have to escort you back. However, at the front of this store, we have a tactile map. It is made of a lucite. It's got Braille all over the front of it. And it kind of gives you an idea of what the shape of the store is, where the aisles are, where the dairy products are. And it'll bring you to wherever you need to go. And then amongst each aisle, it starts narrowing it down. So you can get down to within a couple of feet. The next one is going to be the adaptive technology. There's a lot of different, there's a lot of technology that's coming out that's going to go along with the Braille. When Josh came up with the idea and we Brailled the Thousand Oaks store, we won an award from the National Braille Press, who flew us back to Boston to accept their yearly hands-on award. And while we were out there, Whole Foods said, please, we're right by the Perkins School for the Blind and the Carroll Institute. There is a Whole Foods out here. So we opened up that store. There was a showing of probably about 40 people. The Boston Globe got involved. By the time we flew back, we had Santa Barbara asking for it. We now have Tarzana. The Joshua Project has won the Mayor's Award, presented by Mayor Schneider in Santa Barbara, who had given us the award. And although we live in Simi Valley an hour away, I'm going there every week. To join up with a lot of the other stores that are interested. Albertsons, like Josh said, has contacted us. They want to start doing at least two stores. Gelson's, which is a smaller Southern California store that's got 17 stores, they just called me. They want to do it in their stores, and we're at a point where it's starting to grow by leaps and bounds. We're not really sure why. It hasn't been up. This question hadn't been answered before, but I had said that it took the vision of my 7-year-old little boy to make this a reality.
But you were 7.
The idea behind the Joshua Project goes even a little bit further. And, you know, when Josh was born, like my wife said, we figured that if we raise him the same, he'll grow up the same. If we raise him differently, he'll be different. And we didn't want him to be different. We wanted him to fit in with everybody else. And he's learning that the world isn't just going to conform to him. And as we, you know, I figured I would drop him off at school one day. You know, I have a very, very smart daughter. I drop her off at 8. I pick her up at 1. She's brilliant. So I figured I would take my son, drop him off at 8, pick him up at 1. Everything will be fine. But hearing that, oh, we don't have somebody who teaches Braille. We don't have somebody who, we don't have a resource center. It was the most ridiculous thing I had heard. I said, how am I supposed to have my son thrive in a community where everything is about reading and writing. I don't know one sighted person that is successful today because they don't know how to read and write. And I became very passionate about it. In any case, everything we've been doing is for our son, and it has turned into a national thing. When we were invited to speak out here, we didn't know how to approach it. We didn't know what to say. This is our first conference. This is our first time standing up and discussing what we want to do. In a perfect world for my son, there would be Braille everywhere, in addition to technology, but the Braille to me is what's important. I just heard today that there's a 70% unemployment, and I know from the statistics I read that the people who are fluent in reading and writing Braille, it's just the opposite. And I know that it coincides with learning to be independent. So as we grow, we want to bring with us that the children growing up need to know how important it is to be independent. You know, I don't want my son to grow up and have somebody help him. He wouldn't happen anyway, but I want him to know that he can get up one day, he can jump on the bus, he can go down to the store, he can go shopping and come home. He doesn't have to call me and say, I need some milk. And that's what our goal is. So as we walked around the hotel, we saw Braille on the doors, on the elevators, on the rooms. It's all over the place. And it's amazing to see people getting around the way that they do. And if we can just add Braille throughout the grocery stores the way my son wants it, it's going to bring it back to where the schools are going to have Braille for everybody, not just because somebody asked for it. So I thank Whole Foods Market and Santa Barbara and a lot of the people there for everything. And thank you guys all so much for having us.
Okay, we have time for, there's Ed. We have time for a few questions, if you'd be willing to take a couple of questions from the audience. Great.
Yeah, this is Charlene Ornelas from San Diego.
Charlene.
The Braille Club. I wanted to know, and it's great about the labeling, but are you able to put the prices on there too?
That's been asked by us quite a bit. It depends because, as we all know, Braille's the same size. And what's happening is they're cramming more and more stuff on store shelves. There is a possibility that it will be. But what's happening is with the adaptive technology, if you can find your way through a store and get to a point where you say, okay, here's the Cheerios that I want, there is a handheld scanner that you can actually scan the barcode and it'll read it to you. We believe that's going to be the easiest way. However, with the Nemeth system and my son just learning all that now, I'm sure it could be done. It's just a matter of squeezing too much into too small of a space.
Okay. Linda?
Hi, Madam President and Joshua and Joshua's parents. Hi. There. Great. Closer. Good. Yeah, you know, when you're a short person, you kind of move things around to make them fit, right? Anyway, I just wanted to make a comment that there are many of us in this room who are living on our own and who awesome. Are independent people, whether we're students, whether we're working or looking for jobs or seniors. There are many of us of all age groups who have found our own place and our own lives and ways of doing things. So Joshua and your parents, I think you don't have as much to worry about as the people in the school district think you do. Thank you.
Well, and I want you to know that we are going to follow in all of your footsteps because we don't know. So when I hear that, when I see it, it's so important to us. So thank you.
We have another question, but what I would share with you is, in our organization, We have people who are teachers. We have people who work for the state legislator's office. We have attorneys. We have all kinds of people within the organization. So I would say it's great. You can be what you want to be if you want to be it. So thank you very much. And let me take the next question. Okay, Dirk is, Ed has his roller skates on and he's getting back there with the wireless.
Josh, how do you pay for all the brailing?
Josh.
How do you pay for it, Josh?
How do you pay for the braille?
How do you pay for all the brailing?
It's a non-profit, and people have been donating money to us, so I'm very happy about that.
One of Evan's customers came to us after we brailled the first store. This was not our intention to start a non-profit. But one of Evan, my husband sells cars, and one of his customers heard about what we were doing and approached him and said, you guys need to turn this into a nonprofit and spread it out through the United States. And kindly donated his nonprofit attorney and all the money for us to get the filing done. And for the last year, we've been scrambling to learn about a nonprofit and how they're run and put together a board and a website and everything else. All the money has been donated to keep us going so far, and it has been an amazing adventure.
And the other thing is, when we opened up our, everything came from us initially. Now, we don't have lots of money. I mean, that's not who we are. We're just like everybody else out here. So when we opened up the JoshuaProjectFoundation.org, it cost us money for the website, it cost us money for this, but it was that important. And what's happened is so many other people, we're finding out that philanthropy is the new greed. We're finding that out from companies all over the place, that they're trying to outdo each other, saying, well, I donated to this person, or look what I've donated. Yeah. So and I'm going to ride on those coattails as long as I can, because right now it costs us for, our next step is to buy an embosser, which with the software and everything is going to be another few thousand. And Josh uses his Perkins Brailler to braille all of this. Thousands and thousands of braille labels. So, and even me, I'm sighted. I can read braille by looking at it now from doing it for so long. So.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to end here. I realize there are a few other questions, but please join me in thanking Joshua and his parents for coming to our convention. And I hope that you do some more exploring and more people will be coming, going. And again, thank you so very much for coming. I want to make a quick announcement in the program. First Timers is set in Dana Point. We are having First Timers here in this room. So if there's anyone that you know who is going to First Timers, or if you're going to First Timers, you know where we're at. So you already have the upper hand. So First Timers is in here. Okay. We will do one quick door prize and then close the session. So, and we have a ticket to the banquet. And a bag of fudge. Let's see who we have.
Allison Debner,
are you in the room?
Is she here?
Allison?
Raise your hand. No hands.
No hands. Okay, next one.
Artist Bazin.
Yay! All right, Curtis. Now I know where to get that wonderful fudge if I don't win any. Okay, everyone, we will see you at our next session. And remember, first timers is here. Thank you.